guests, actually, and Dr. Rosetta Manischewitz is with us, and Dr. Manischewitz is well known as a Glen Eira Council watcher, I believe. Is that right, Rosetta?
Yes, I am interested in council affairs.
And it's a very opportune time to have that discussion, seeing we're all going to be voting, if we haven't already, voting for in the Glen Eira elections. And Newton Gatoff, a sometime conversationalist with me, is also a very, very keen local government watcher. He has worked for many years in local government, and he has actually stood as a candidate as well, and not in this election, but in a previous council election. And, of course, Newton did a very important job recently, and that was to host the candidates meet the people forums.
Yeah, I should say I was a moderator.
Moderator. Okay.
I was very fortunate to be asked by Gira, who are a residents association that very few people know about, living in the city of Glen Eira, but have been great advocates for the community for many, many years. And yes, we hosted three forums.
Okay. Well, look, before we get into that, I don't know whether you guys also agree or disagree with me about Bob Dylan being a worthy Nobel Literature Laureate.
Well,
I'm sorry to divert from elections, but I think this is really important. I'll just read probably one of my favourite lines from a song, and then I'll play a song, and Newton, in the tradition that you and I have established, you need to guess who one of the artists singing it is. Okay. But first, then take me disappearing through the smoke rings of my mind, down the foggy ruins of time, far past the frozen leaves, the haunted, frightened trees, out to the windy beach, far from the twisted reach of crazy sorrow. Yes, to dance beneath the diamond sky, with one hand waving free, silhouetted by the sea, circled by the circus sands, with all memory and fate driven deep beneath the waves. Let me forget about today until tomorrow. It's a beautiful line. It's just a beautiful verse. It really is. It moves me every time.
Sax but and Dylan in one. In
Sax and Dylan. Yeah, however, I don't pretend to have a singing voice. I don't think Bob Dylan actually had a terrific singing voice, but a terrific writer. Now, you recognise the first exponent of Dylan music in this version of Blowing in the Wind, but I'll get you to guess who the second one is. So let's listen to Blowing in the Wind.
How many roads must a man walk down before he calls his name?
Newton, you know who that is.
I should be typing it up on Google.
Must the white dove sail before she sleeps in the sand?
Is more Rosetta's than mine.
How many times must the cannonballs fly before
knock me over?
Newton, I'm really surprised. But to me, this is the most beautiful exponent of his music. This
is Joan Baez.
This is Joan Baez. Well done, Rosetta.
There you go.
You get a prize. We don't have any prizes in this studio, but you get a prize. But I want you both to try and guess who the second singer is when he comes on. I'm sorry, I'm interrupting a song.
Before it's washed to the sea. How many years can some people exist before they're allowed to be free? Yes, and how many times can a man turn his head and pretend
a little bit. Your measure, and we really do need to get on to talking about council elections, but that was quite a very young John Denver singing together with Joan Baez. You wouldn't have, but it was a terrific talk. Now let's get on, let's go on to Glenara council elections, which is why we're here. One of the things I noticed when I went to the Rosstown public forum was that two of the three sitting councillors didn't bother to show up, and that included the mayor as well as one of the longest serving councillors. Is that something about the attitude that you think that sitting councillors, and maybe that's a generalisation, but sitting councillors have towards their duties?
I think for my...
Or the people.
There may have been some reasons as to why they couldn't turn up. But fact is, if you are the sitting mayor, and this is your forum that we're talking to, you'd have thought you'd made every effort to do so. And I believe, I'm not 100% sure, but I believe Margaret Esakoff just didn't want to come. So, look, there's a great deal of, I mentioned Gira and they were hosting the event. There's a great deal of, I wouldn't necessarily say it's animosity, but distance between council and the residents' associations. I'd say there's a distance between the sitting councillors and the community as well at times. Mm. Of course, that's not their opinion. They believe they represent
the people, and
they're entitled to that opinion, but I would beg to differ. Yes, it was a glaring omission, and given the content of that meeting, which was quite heated towards the end, I'm perhaps not surprised that the councillors decided it was probably an easier afternoon if they stayed at home. But it's not the first time they haven't turned up, is it, Reza?
No, it's not. And just to follow on from what Newton was saying, I really do believe that there's a disengagement between the community. There's been, if you look through from federal to state, but it's specifically in local government, there's a total sort of failure in representative democracy, I think, right across the board. And that is really emphasised and epitomised by local government and sort of the legislation which governs local government and the ethos under which local government works.
But a lot of people say to me that, you know, they're not even aware of what council they're in. They wouldn't know what ward they're in, and much more pointedly, they don't know who their council representatives are.
That's very true.
So they don't take a great interest in it either. So how do we bridge that gap? Because from my point of view, it's very low on the rung, local government, in people's perception about the life they lead, even though it really is so important. Planning, well, it's not just their rubbish bins being emptied, it's planning, it's open spaces, it's facilities, it's safety, it's a whole range of things that we really don't see. Why not?
Well, in answer to your question as to how do we bridge the gap, I think we could do enormous amounts to bridge the gap by working with a tremendous number of community groups that already exist in the community. This is just one, JAIR Radio is just one community group, a not-for-profit, that exists for the benefit of the community. You're not getting paid to be here. We're not getting paid to be here, and yet we're engaged in the community, and there are football groups, there are basketball associations, there are church groups, there are many, many other charity groups out there, all of whom make up the community. The council actually doesn't realise where it should be sitting in the community, and it's servicing the needs of that. One particular candidate which has struck me as a very strong one, I don't know about you, Rosetta, is Dan Strait, insofar as he's latched on to this this idea that the community can be very much better supported by the council than they have done previously. By the community, I mean these groups that I refer to.
Yeah.
And I think through those groups, there are many more networks back to people who are the very people you're talking about. They're sort of people that don't really know the benefits of council or the issues that council are wrestling with. What we see when we go into the chamber where decisions are made is we see focus on all sorts of issues.
Punch-ups.
Often personal. Yes. Often personal. And, yes. And I know Rosetta's been witness to more over many years. How many years have you been going to council meetings, Rosetta?
To council meetings probably on a regular basis from about 2009 or 10, but I've been interested in council affairs since at least 2003.
Okay.
I've seen what's happened. Just following on from what Newton was saying, I think when you go to council meetings, and I would urge people to go to see exactly what happens, what's wrong with it. People expect to be able to ask questions, to have the opportunity to talk, to address the entire council.
Is it run like Parliament?
It's worse than Parliament.
It's worse than Parliament.
It's worse than Parliament.
I've never been. I don't even know when they meet.
Well, you should come along.
I'd love to.
Come along. First of all, you cannot... There's now been a change to the local law, so your public question won't be read out unless you're present in chamber.
Right.
You often have to sit there 2 to 3 hours to wait to get to your public question.
Right.
And that's totally different to the way other councils operate. So there are things that council can do to engage more directly and make coming to council meetings, they can telecast things, make it more inviting.
But you do have to control the flow of conversation. There needs to be, like the Speaker of the House, for instance, needs to control the flow. If it's a free-for-all for people to come in,
I'm not saying there's a free-for-all. There can be regulations.
Right,
But that initiative has to be done so that people know what is available.
Yeah, I think the problem at the moment is, like yourself, many, many people don't go to the chamber and wouldn't unless they had an absolutely burning desire to hear something being discussed. And
exactly.
If they were, they would rather feel that they're sitting in front of parliamentarians who try... They stand up, councillors stand up, give 15, 20-minute deliberation sometimes over complete nonsense. These should be people like you and I able to have relatively straightforward conversations. Mm. Yes, there needs to be regulation as to how long they speak. And of course, there's there's all the laws of defamation that they need to observe, etc. But the fact is, we don't want parliamentarians in our council chamber. We want bus drivers. We want doctors. We want radio presenters. We want the sorts of people that live and work in our community,
yep.
rather than people who are heading up towards what they think is
a political career. Okay, let's get down to some of the key issues, because to me there are some major issues, and I've brought some of these up in the past interviews that I've had with candidates. And the one that gets me every time is that, especially in Tucker Ward where I live, it's been a developer's holiday. It's unbelievable. There are cranes on the skyline. There are massive buildings going up. The whole nature of the streets are totally changing, and I don't think any of the facilities needed to service this what's going to be a great influx in population. I don't think any of the facilities have been catered for. Parking, schools, all sorts of things that are needed to, you know, what a 20% increase in population in a very short, what will be a very short space of time. What's happening in planning? Because to me, that's one of the key things that council does.
Well, a personal perspective is that planning has been an absolute nightmare in Glenora for quite a long time now. I've heard your previous councillors on air. For instance, Jamie Himes was saying that, yes, there was housing diversity in the minimal change areas in 2004.
Yes.
But what also happened in 2004 was that council, in their planning scheme, said, we are going to do structure planning, we are going to do parking precinct plans, we are going to protect vegetation. Okay, 12 years later, none of that has been done.
Right.
It has
including
been
a structure plan.
There hasn't. The only reason that a planning scheme review was undertaken this year was because the minister ordered it to make this council come into line with every other metropolitan council.
Mm-hmm.
Glenora Council had applied for extension after extension not to review the planning scheme. So it has been a conscious, deliberate decision. 12
Why?
Years. Why? Personally, this is just a personal thing. I believe that development has been very much encouraged in Glen Iroh.
Yeah.
In terms of the open space levy, in terms of the way the zones have been done, and they were introduced without community consultation whatsoever, which I think the community didn't realise at the time, but I believe for any government that is supposed to be representing the people, that is totally unforgivable.
Yeah,
and I will say, Gary, that when they were introduced, and we did call out the councillors and say, why haven't you consulted, they referred back to, we did a study years ago, it's fine, we got this right. Anyway, we put in height controls where they didn't exist before, and councillors have come here and said that. No, we actually improved the situation. What they did was they put in a height control that actually attracted the very developers Rosetta's talking about to come in and build that.
Absolutely, so, and they've gone crazy, and people have been selling houses inflated prices because of the demand by developers for those properties.
Some are actually saying that their houses aren't worth the value they were worth because of the proximity to blocks.
Well, that's the other impact that it has as well.
And you know what, Gary? The fact is that a lot of these councillors that are seeking re-election have come on your show and have been out on the streets, and they're not prepared to apologise for what was effectively, as far as I can see, a mistake.
I should have called them out more, shouldn't I?
Well, you're a gentle soul in many ways.
Thank you. Flattery will get you everywhere.
In this instance, I think there were many of us, Rosetta and I included, who have been extremely angry at the way the community has been dealt this particular card.
Okay, now our time is limited, so I want to get to one other issue which I think is crucial for any level of government, and that is financial management. And I've listed on the program in the past the development of Burren Park, the GSAC development. These are very, very costly and developments, and it seems that they've run well over budget and over time. I know with Burren Park, well over time, we've constructed a whole new railway system in the time that they've destroyed a reservoir and started to build a park. What's going on with the financial management and project management from this council?
Well, it would appear, council has admitted in response to a public question that the Burren Road Reservoir is $600,000 over budget.
In a budget of how much?
Well, they claim $10.5 million.
Right.
But it's very difficult to pin down. If you look at their tenders that they've awarded just over the last 2 years, it's already over $11 million. So the question is...
For the full cost.
Well, that doesn't include other, landscaping or other sorts of things as well. The demolition, whether or not there's been contamination. Figures are not produced, as far as I can tell, that actually give a ledger account of we've spent so much, we've had so much income, etc. So that really needs to be far more transparent, and council needs to be far more accountable.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think in terms of financial management, it's often unclear, possibly also to councillors, exactly what's going on, because it is a very complex business in council, because there are so many departments involved.
Absolutely.
in making, GSAC, for example, is a line item in itself, but there are many other departments that service GSAC as well, and not least of which is the finance department, as they look after a significant loan which council will be burdened with for some years. Whether good financial management is in play is really down to obviously the CEO to ensure is happening.
Absolutely.
But under the sort of the constant watch of the council subcommittee that's appointed to do that. Now, without clear documentation, clear information, even somebody as interested in council as Rosetta is, it's very difficult for a community member to understand what's going on.
Absolutely.
And that just breeds a lack of confidence from the community's end. A lot of this could be swept away if we had a much clearer vision for what was actually happening on the ground, both at the beginning of a project and all the way through it.
Mm-hmm. And Gary, it goes back to some of the questions that you've asked previous councillors.
Mm-hmm.
does the community really want to spend 12, 13 million on a park? Is that value for money? Mm. Do we want to spend 50 or 60 million on an indoor swimming pool? The community was never asked.
When there's a perfectly reasonable swimming pool just a few k's down the road. I mean, I worked at the City of Kingston for years after GSAC arrived, and we took a financial hit as a result of GSAC. Now, this is...
I'm sure.
These are councils competing with each other. That's not what local government's all about. Mm. They've got it wrong, and they don't appear to want to listen to the likes of myself or many others.
But do they have it wrong? I mean, GSAC is for all its cost, and I know its gym competes with private gyms and all sorts of things like this, and it doesn't provide a lot of basketball space and things like that, but it is, and I know there's a lot of people who go there and enjoy the GSAC facility. It's a fantastic facility. I mean, it does actually give, if I were a councillor who'd been overseeing that project, I would say, well, wow, this is a tremendous community facility. If we talk about open space and recreation and things like that for our community.
Yeah, Gary, if we want to build another Chadstone 2 or 3 kilometres away that's brand new, everyone's going to want to go to that brand new Chadstone because it's actually more exciting than the old Chadstone. The fact is, GSAC's a success because it's the latest kid on the block.
Yep.
10 years from now, if local government keeps getting it wrong and they build another one 2-3 kilometres away, you'd be looking at a very different proposal. I think this is a more regional question. When you're spending mm-hmm. this sort of money, you need to take into account far more than the flavours of the day.
Okay.
Yes, it is a great success. Although I will say the Basketball Association that was given the lease has suddenly
gone somewhere else.
Gone somewhere else.
Yes, that's right.
And that's another story.
That's another story. You're listening to Talking to the Max. It's Wednesday the 9th of October, and I have Dr. Rosetta Manasevich, and you can get off with me talking about the Glen Eira election. If you haven't yet voted, we're talking about the vote. Your final word on what do you think we should be doing when we mark our ballot papers? And I'm not saying put your tick on this particular person, but what's a general guiding principle, I guess, for people who haven't made their minds up yet?
If they haven't made their minds up, I think they need to reflect on the last 10 years, because a lot of these councillors have been in for that length of time,
right,
and decide whether or not, and a lot of candidates are suggesting this, do we want change? Do we want a better council? Do we want a community-oriented council?
Yeah. And I would support that. I think the fact is, this isn't a career. This is actually an opportunity for somebody to represent the community. And for my mind, I think change is a good thing at this point in time. And I would wholeheartedly agree. Think about it very, very carefully before you put that cross on any one of those boxes. But fill all the numbers out. Don't miss any of the boxes.
That's right.
Your ballot, and get it in by Friday, because that's actually
that's the cutoff date, isn't it? So that's the 21st.
Yeah,
that's 2 days' time. I'm indebted to you we could speak for hours and hours and hours on this, and maybe after the election results, we'll actually have a little bit of a debrief on that.
Thank you, Gary.
Thank you for being with us today, and let's hear from the Bard.